This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time, as we are just 4 weeks away from the start of the NFL draft. Today, we're going to do a little daily mock at 1 o'clock as we're going to look at ESPN, a guy that you're familiar with, Hugh. Mike Tannenbaum put together a mock draft.
Yeah, he traded me.
Yeah. So does it mean he knows ball or he doesn't know ball?
Well, no, it's just like I'm not mad at Mike. I think I landed on my feet, but still, it's just like, damn, dog, you traded me.
You can't trade Hugh Douglas away.
I mean, he definitely
to become another team's Hall of Famer and no ball.
How do you reconcile that team that they traded? The Jets went to the title game the year after Hugh left, though.
Yeah, they did. They definitely went to the title game.
Wow.
Yeah.
That adds a layer to it. Maybe he does no ball.
Addition by subtraction, yep. Douglas. All right, let's get to the mock today. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN. Number one, this is becoming a consensus here. Cam Ward, quarterback, Miami to the Tennessee Titans. Number two, Travis Hunter to the Browns, which means the Browns pass on a quarterback. Number three, the Giants take Shedeur Sanders, quarterback out of Colorado. Four, the Patriots take a lineman, Membu out of Missouri, lineman.
Whoa. You're telling me Abdul Carter's dropping to, he's past the number four pick?
He does not go to the Patriots. Yes, he goes to the number five pick. The Jacksonville Jaguars select Abdul Carter, edge, Penn State.
I don't like this already. I mean, you're going to tell me that Howie's sitting there seeing Abdul Carter fall to five and he stays at 32?
Well, I've got two thoughts if he falls to five. We had that story last week that they might consider trading Trayvon Walker. If they have the pick to draft Abdul Carter, I think they'd either trade the pick or they would trade Trayvon Walker. They have his replacement right there.
I like it.
So the Eagles could benefit either way from that. So there's your top five. Hugh, let's scroll down to the Philadelphia Eagles. And at number 32 in Mike Tannenbaum's latest mock draft over to ESPN, the Philadelphia Eagles select Gray Zabel, guard.
Oh, my gosh. It's awful.
Out of North Dakota State, here is what Tannenbaum wrote. Philly doesn't have many apparent short-term needs, so even though I'm standing in for GM Howie Roseman, I'm sticking with his draft tendencies in addressing the trenches. Zabel is tough and versatile, and he was outstanding at the Senior Bowl. He played both tackle spots, both guard spots at North Dakota. Tannenbaum sees him playing guard in the pros. He could compete with Tyler Steen to replace Mekhi Becton. Hugh Douglas, your thoughts on the idea of a guard, Gary?
On the idea?
Gray Zabel, guard, North Dakota State.
my thought?
Yeah.
If they get a guard, that really galvanizes.
Oh, jeez.
You know what I mean? I'm saying it does.
Galvanizes you?
No, I'm just saying it's just one of those things, like, I don't think they're going to get a guard.
But if they do, off the premise.
If they get a guard, that means that they're really loading up on that offensive side of the ball to try to protect their quarterback, which is odd to me. That would be an odd pick. You know, North Dakota State, didn't our illustrious quarterback go there?
Carson, yep.
Yeah. I mean, he's a little squatty guy. He looks like, and they say he's tough. He played all four O-line positions. He's not going to be a tackle, though. He's kind of small for a tackle.
6'6", 305.
He looked small.
Does he have shorter arms?
He looked kind of small on the video, but I guess 6'6" is not small. So, yeah, these are I don't think they get a guard. I don't think they get an offensive line.
Yeah, they better not.
When you talk about what they lost and what they need to upgrade and the success that they had, yeah.
So,
I would say, yeah.
Well, I'm looking at his NFL.com page. He did at some point play all five offensive line positions, which that's, you know, he has versatility. But to your point, Hugh, and I think what Tannenbaum was writing, he has short arms. So that's why he's probably a guard in the NFL.
No, because I'm looking.
Well, 6'6", you think tackle.
There's another guy that Hugh Douglas paved the way for in the NFL.
Oh, dinosaur like you.
No, listen, because I'm looking at the video, right? And I'm like, wow, he doesn't look like he has long arms, or he didn't look that tall.
So one thing that's interesting about him is he turned down offers from bigger schools and NIL to stay because his brother just got to North Dakota State last year. So
he wanted to stay with his brother.
Yeah, I mean, in a different world, kind of like Quinyon last year. Maybe he ends up at Alabama or, you know, whatever, USC or something. So I have no idea how good he is, but just the concept of Gray Zabel, guard, North Dakota State.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Kyle, your reaction to Gray?
I'm pissed off at Mike Tannenbaum. this is going to be apparently another war that I'm fighting for the draft with the Eagles. I'm begging everyone who's listening, who makes mock drafts, stop mocking offensive guards to the Philadelphia Eagles in the first round. He's wrong that that's a Howie Roseman tendency.
Well, lineman.
I get that. But what he notes in this blurb here is that he thinks he's a guard in the NFL. Yeah. You know, even though he was versatile in college, he says, I see him as a guard in the NFL. Howie hasn't drafted a guard higher than the third round, I don't think, ever. I mean, Danny Watkins was 2011, but, you know, Andy Reid, who knows. Isaac Seumalo, I think, was the highest guard that the Eagles have drafted. He was in the third round. Tyler Steen, third rounder. We're not taking a freaking guard in the first round. Stop!
So two things. Two things. You're missing two things on this. I got to be real. This didn't excite me when I saw his name. It's like, wow, this is a cool
pick. No, it's a joke.
I don't... When a team is this good, perhaps they look at their pick a little different, like a luxury pick. We could take a – well, they might. I'm just letting you know. Second thing is
– wait a minute. What'd you say?
A guard – hold on.
A luxury pick.
A guard is not – when is a guard a luxury pick?
No, but I mean, do the Eagles have
– luxury, huh?
Do they have a hole on their team so big that they don't have anyone that could start right now? No, right?
So you disagree. Well, I mean, I think they have way bigger areas of need.
Okay,
they could get a safety.
D-lineman
or safety.
But they have Ojomo. Now, safety, I might agree with you on. But safety.
I'm saying like edge.
But they just signed Ojulari and Uche.
Wow.
No, but they filled it with
Kyle
something.
Is not happy.
They filled it with something.
No, so here's my thing.
Everything but safety has like a placeholder right now. Even Ringo and Adoree Jackson. They've covered themselves where maybe they say, we just take a luxury pick.
He says we're going to take this guy to compete with Tyler Steen in training camp. If we draft this dude,
he better start.
I'm going to pick it outside the NovaCare.
Well, you could. He would start if he's drafted in the first round.
It would be a horrendous
You're
pick.
Missing one other thing, though, because I went on NFL.com to see what they said about him. And I'm watching a video here of Baldy listing his favorite O-line draft prospects. He's Baldy approved.
That's awesome.
Baldy approved.
He's not a
and
fit for the Eagles.
He has a great mustache.
Oh, he's got a mustache.
Porn stash. Some would call
As
it a
mustache guy, wouldn't
that
you?
Hurts.
Yeah,
that
I mean, you have, you'd think you'd be on his side.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm out on taking a guard in the first round. It's,
six,
it's
six,
a ridiculous
real,
pick.
Though?
You don't buy how tall he is?
I mean, I'm not saying he's not 6'6", but
is he taller than you?
He doesn't look that tall.
He's taller than you.
No, I'm saying, but you know how some people, when you look at him, because we're looking at the same video. Does he look 6'6" to you, Joe?
No.
Like if you're, I mean, look who, like, unless she's like 5", like what? She got to be at least 6'3", 6'4".
I think he was 6'6" when I saw him at first.
No, that's what I'm saying. He doesn't look that tall.
So maybe it's a make-believe 6'6". Maybe 6'5". You know what happens. They list it one way.
Well,
and then
I got listed at 6'2".
And what's the truth?
Shrimp.
Shrimp Douglas is the truth.
Well, but okay. And this is sort of a more minor thing, just compared to how passionate I am against taking a guard. Tyler Steen's 6'6". Mekhi Becton was what, like 6'8"? 6'7"?
Yeah, 6'7", 6'8", yeah.
This guy's like 6 foot. He's a shrimp.
Comparatively.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he could fit in with Shrimp Douglas.
No, sorry. He's 6'6". I misread that.
No, he's Hugh's saying he doesn't look 6'6".
No, he doesn't look 6'6".
Oh, okay.
Look at the video. Look at some of his work. It doesn't look 6'6" to me. I guess he's put together pretty good then for 6'6".
Some of these numbers in the combine pretty good.
I can't have it.
That's what I'm saying.
Athleticism score second. Production score first. This guy looks like a player.
Don't care.
All right.
We'll see. You see his comparison?
No, who was it?
Evan Mathis.
Evan Mathis was a good player for a little bit.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
They did get him off the scrap heap, though, Evan Mathis, and they turned him into something. All right, well, we shall see. Daily Mock at 1 o'clock. We'll do
please
it.
Please stop mocking guards at the Eagles.
Oh,
please.
No, I need more of those just to get it.
He ain't trying to hit it.
I need to see more of those to get Kyle screaming back there. 215-592-949 for your reaction to that. And, of course, the Phillies here. Are they a lock to make the playoffs? Let's check in on our Twitter poll. Let's see if Hugh has swayed the audience at all. I'm guessing no based on...
Big fat no, because I ain't got a whole lot to say.
That would be a no. All right. Yeah, actually, you've lost ground. It's 57% now. We are moving in that direction. Do you think the Phillies are a lock to make the playoffs?
Because y'all keep playing them cuts that made
you're
people
blaming
mad.
Who? Me? The Phillies? Kyle?
Well, I'm just blaming what they say.
No, I think this is people just giving you their opinion, and they don't believe they're a lock to
today
make the playoffs.
Today is not my day.
They're just not paying attention.
Yeah, it's a shame when the votes go the opposite way.
Yeah,
the show
they
goes
don't
on.
Go in my favor.
That was my favorite whatever. He's like, they're just not paying attention. They're not listening to me.
If they really heard me, they'd go like,
who is the one guy? Oh, you don't know baseball. That's what it is. They want to hit me with that.
Oh, that was early in the show. That was
like early in the years. Oh, you know what you're talking about.
You know, not the poll, but some of the comments, responses to Joe saying the Phillies aren't a lock to win the NL East.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't those the same people who got mad at you for saying that the Phillies had the NL East wrapped up?
Which they did. Which never gets brought up again. That division was over in June.
You're just a hater, hot take artist.
Hater that says the Phillies were great last year and now questions them. That's all right. All right, Kashmir. Oh, we haven't heard from Kashmir in a while. In the Poconos.
Poconos.
I know Kashmir will take the pledge. What's up, pal?
Oh, what's going on, Joe? What's going on, Hugh? How you guys doing?
What's going on?
Good. You ready for baseball season?
Of course, of course. First, let me just say, I obviously didn't hear from you. I haven't talked to you guys in a while. I just want to say, I know it's congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles. Congratulations to you guys in the city of Philadelphia winning the Super Bowl once again. You guys deserved it. You guys best team in football. So one of the best teams I've ever seen. So great job to you guys.
Well, they were an awesome team. By the end, they became an incredible football team there. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Hugh, real quick, I just want to let you know, man, I hear you, bro. I love you just as much as I love Joe. I actually used to listen to you in the mornings in Atlanta when you were in Atlanta for a long time. So
thank you very much, bro.
Did you hear him cooking bacon?
I did not hear him cooking bacon in Atlanta. No, I did not.
Still because it's still like you go up
and
there
you
and
full.
You're
good job. Good job.
You're vulnerable. Like you
immediately learn musical taste. Hugh Douglas.
What?
Hugh damn Douglas.
All right, so first, the Phillies. I don't think they're a lock to make the playoffs. I don't think so. I really do not think they are a lock because, like you said, Joe, the NL is deep. The National League is very, very deep. You have the Padres. You have the Dodgers. They're a lock, of course. The Dodgers are a lock. We already know the NL Central. It's like, now, either of those teams, the Cubs or the Brewers, might not be as good as the Phillies, but, hey, one of those playoff spots is going to go to one of those teams in the NL Central, so...
Yep.
So obviously, they're, you know, one of those teams is a lock to make the playoffs. You know, the Cubs or the Brewers. I actually think it's going to be the Cubs.
I also think Kashmir Cincinnati because Terry Francona is there now. I think one of those three. I think Cincinnati could be a surprise. Yep.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I agree. Cincinnati could definitely be a surprise as well. So one of those teams is going to make the playoffs. And like you said, Joe, the NL East. I mean, it's three deep. I mean, it is three deep. Honestly, Joe, you have the Phillies, the Mets, who just added Juan Soto. Now, I know they may not have the pitching on paper that we do, but hey, they didn't have the pitching on paper last year in the playoffs against us, and guess what?
You know, Kashmir, I'm glad you said that, because that's come up a lot, right? The Mets pitching looks, you know, thinner, and it's more average than the Phillies. But last we said the same thing going in the playoffs last year. Yeah. Their pitching can't match us, and then they shut down the Phillies offense for four games.
Crazy.
Yep.
Exactly, and it goes by just like you said, Joe. And the reason, and this is why I'm going to, and this is why I am a, you know, I'm going to take the pledge, Joe. You know me, and Hugh, I think, knows me a little bit well enough. But Joe, you definitely know me well enough.
This is the passion that you needed to have.
I needed to hear this today when you did
the pledge.
I'm ready to take that pledge. I really can't recite it, but I want to take the pledge. I you know me, Joe. You know I'm gonna take the pledge. You've known me since the days back in the late night show in 6 to 10. So you know I'm gonna take the pledge. I'm gonna hold these guys accountable. Trust me. But I am not gonna lie. Maybe this team, Joe. Maybe we just see from last year, like you said, from July on, they went 41-41 in their last 82 games. 41-41. Maybe, Joe, maybe they're less like the Philadelphia Eagles, and maybe they are more like the 76ers. I'm starting to really think that.
I can hear it in his voice. He believes
It's coming through. You could feel that. It hit us in our soul as you said that, Kesper.
I hate to say it. I really hate to say it, but I look at this team. They've gotten a lot older. While teams like the Braves and the Mets have gotten actually a little bit younger, the Padres have gotten younger, the Dodgers have actually just gotten better and better. You know, even the Brewers have gotten younger, and they've gotten better. You know, it's like we have to get younger. We just do. I mean, we have to be able to. Where's our younger players? Where's our?
So, Kesper, I think that's the silver lining that summer, this summer. Like, if there's one thing I think that could push this back up and forward the way it needs to be, it's the kids. I mean, Andrew Painter should be here in June or July. They started Crawford at AAA. I think Aiden Miller's not far away. That really could be like a boost.
That could be like a boost to the team. Yeah. That's why I'm still excited about the season. Otherwise, Joe, I would be worried that this team would be putting in the 2012 Phillies instead of the 2011 or 2010 Phillies. Because we've just gotten older and we've lost a lot of pieces. And like you said, the bullpen, Joe, we lost Hoffman, we lost Estevez. Now, I get Hoffman and Estevez weren't great in the postseason, especially Estevez, but Joe, we replaced him with Jordan Romano, Joe Ross. The Dodgers are going out there and getting Tanner Scott.
And Blake Snell. I mean, Dodgers like added a two-time Cy Young winner to the team that won the World Series anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and we're going to, first month, I'd say, we're going to have Taijuan Walker starting every 5 days.
Yeah, that's not great.
Not great.
Kesper, you know what? We're going to have fun, though. We appreciate the phone call. We talk a lot during the season. See, you said that's the passion I needed. I needed that passion from you taking the pledge.
No, he had a lot of passion.
He had a lot. I mean, you know, Kesper next week, if they're winning, he'll be on the phone lines going crazy.
If they're not winning, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, he'll scream and yell until he gets it all out of his system, as a lot of us will. 215-592-9494. Do you believe the Phillies are a lock to make the postseason?
Yes, Hugh, I do believe.
Actually a little surprised today how many people didn't. I didn't anticipate this many.
Me too. I'm a little surprised because, you know, we were so bullish and, you know, everything was so exciting. I think right now everybody just has fatigue. Like I said, I believe our bridge, the Phillies, the Sixers, I should say, they didn't do us any favors this year. They really didn't.
They collapsed.
Yeah, they didn't. And I feel like, you know, a lot of the guys, the players, that is, didn't give anything or say anything that make people any confident. They didn't make them confident. So, yeah.
I also think there's something to the way they went out last year that just – it stung. I mean, it was not just
– with a whimper.
It was a whimper. Like, 2 years ago, it was almost like, what happened? Where did that come from? They were going to win the World Series, and then they just lost 2 games at home, and it was over. Last year felt – it hurt. Like, last year hurt, and I think people are questioning what they really are as we go into the season. 215-592-9494. Joe in Mayfair is up on WIP. Hey, Joe.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I don't see them making the playoffs this year, and I'm usually Debbie Downer. I don't. I see 87-75 max this year. Ooh. You know, guys, when you stay status quo from the last 2 to 3 seasons, this team hasn't really had the major injury bug on the starting rotation. And they haven't done anything really with the bullpen. And it's the same lineup again. And it's got to be in the back of your mind that you failed, and you overtry. And that's what they did last year in the playoffs. They overtried. You can't come back with the same nucleus and just tweak the lineup and expect better results. It doesn't happen in sports. It really doesn't. No one went backwards last year in the second half and postseason. And you can't count on him to give you another year. Suarez is already hurt. You don't have a real solid back of the rotation. You have Sanchez, but you don't have a fifth. There's too many strikeouts in the lineup. They're not going to run enough. Thompson's too much of a player's coach to demand more out of them. I don't see how everybody thinks they're going to be better than last year. I just don't.
Yeah, Joe, I don't either. And you threw out the number 87. I don't think that's enough. Like, that's obviously pretty good. 87's a nice record. It's not bad at all. But last year, you needed 890 to guarantee a spot. 89 missed the playoffs last year. If they're at 87, I think those final 2 weeks, it's going to hit us like a ton of bricks that they might miss out.
Boom.
Yeah. You know, and another thing that I've been hearing a lot, guys, is Bryce Harper's the second best goalie of all time behind Schmidt. And I kind of think that people just forget how dominant Ryan Howard was from 06 to 11.
Big piece.
I mean, MVP, World Series champion, averaged 44 homers and 136 RBIs in a seven-year stretch. And we're just all of a sudden forgetting what he did for that team and all the key hits that he had in the years that they went to the World Series and won one, which Bryce Harper has not done yet. So, like, putting Bryce Harper up, who's been here 5-6 years ahead of the big piece, Harper hasn't done what Ryan Howard did in a six-year span. Not even close. 44 and 136 average. That's insane. And an OPS of over 900 average for a six-year span. Don't be putting Bryce Harper there yet until he wins a title.
You know, I, at first when you said it, Joe, I wanted to argue. And then I went back and you brought up the numbers I'm looking. I get your point. And, Brian, good phone call, Joe. Appreciate it.
And he won.
And he, well, that's the biggest difference. He got a ring.
He won. It's starting to, like, with Bryce, it'll probably, if it happens the way that you think it's going to happen, Joe, the worm is going to turn. And people are going to get tired of that. They're going to get tired of, you know, going into the season. They're going to get tired of the excuse making, everything. It's time to get it done.
So I think their numbers are a little more similar than Joe maybe perceived it. Like, so Bryce, so I'm looking at 6 years here, Hugh. Ryan Howard, 2005 to 2010. Obviously, he won a World Series. Bryce has not yet. But overall, their numbers are kind of similar. OPS is both over 900. Adjusted OPS, 141 versus 148. It's pretty close. Both won one MVP in that span. I think it's pretty close. I mean, Bryce is a great player. Bryce
no question about it. But when you talk
about the championship,
the championship holds a lot of weight.
If it's a tiebreaker, that gets you over the top. There's no question about that. Now, I do think Bryce is a better defensive player. Ryan was there at first base. I don't think he was bad, but Bryce is in 2 years became a plus defender at first base, and he was pretty good in the outfield. Andy in Westchester, what's up, Andy?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Andy, what's going on?
Not too much. I got to address Hugh directly quickly. On my way back from South Carolina, 10 miles from Buc-ee's. You need anything?
Oh,
you know what? I'm good, man. I got a Buc-ee's haul. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good on the Buc-ee's.
All right.
I appreciate you, though.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
How about that? What a nice guy.
I appreciate you, man. Appreciate you.
So, another question. Was that microphone in the pan when you were frying the bacon? Because I can hear the bacon louder than you.
It's unbelievable. Let's hear it again. I mean, this is unreal.
Literally.
No, because it's still like you go up there and you're vulnerable. Like you immediately learn musical taste. Hugh Douglas.
What?
Hugh damn Douglas. Hugh Douglas. What the hell, man?
Is that bacon?
Yeah, it is bacon. It is bacon, Hugh.
But you can hear that? Wait a minute, let me just...
Hugh Douglas, it's a microphone!
Wait a minute, just let me turn this last piece of bacon, man. Let me turn this bacon and then we can...
No, go ahead, Hugh. We'll wait for you.
We can just wait for you here.
It's okay.
Okay, it's turned. Okay, I'm back.
See, that's normally...
That's my favorite part.
Yeah, when you do something like that, claiming ignorance helps tremendously.
But then you double down, you're like, let me finish at least.
Because it was sizzling to perfection. You know, I had to turn it. It was like, we're here now.
So I understand what was going on, but you realize to them you were putting the bacon over the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You prioritized the bacon quite clearly.
They were not happy with me. They were not happy.
In my opinion, you were adding to the show, so.
Well, they didn't see it to ours, little did he know. They didn't see it that way.
It was a long play. It helped us out 5 years
later.
They
didn't see it that way. They did not see it that way.
So, all right, well, I pledge allegiance to the midday effort. I can't even believe you could think it's a lock at this point. And if they don't make the playoffs, I mean, we're right back in the same boat as the 08, you know, run. Actually, really the 09 run when they lost in the World Series and just lost in an earlier round after that.
Yeah, Andy, right. If they don't make it, it would be like 9, 10, 11, and this would be the 12th in the same kind of vein, except we skipped the 08, the best part.
Right. So that's why I had to correct myself. It's 09 on, but it's it does not look I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's certainly not going to be easy. Did you, Joe, how much were you sweating coming down the stretch last year on your lock to make the
I never was sweating the division because I thought the I just thought the Braves lost too much. I didn't think they could win that as many games as they would need to win the division. But it was like two different things. One, I was not sweating the lock, but I did recognize they were stumbling into October. It didn't give me great confidence for the playoffs, for sure.
Well, at least I hope we're just I'm sure we're overreacting. That's what we do. But, I mean, they haven't even started the season yet. But hopefully in a couple of days we'll feel better about everything. But, yeah. It's time to be held accountable.
It is. That's what we do here. Andy, good phone call.
Accountability.
That's what we do here at WIP. 215-592-9494. All right, Hugh has the Phillies as a lock to make the playoffs.
Lock.
Do you agree? I don't. And I took the pledge to hold them accountable all season long. Plus, when we come back, we have to talk about the word aura. All right, someone on the Eagles continues to exude aura, and someone on WIP who has the opposite of aura. We'll hit that next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
From upsets to buzzer beaters, get in on all the tournament action at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Bet the money line. You can bet spreads, deep tournament runs, and who you think will win it all. All tournament long, new customers get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code Radio100 to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, JoJo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. I feel like we've really achieved something today. A lot of people have taken the accountability pledge to the Phillies, which we need it, because I heard way too much wake me up in October last couple weeks. No. Enough of that. We got to keep the Phillies accountable this season because I feel like it's going to be a fight to make the playoffs. Are the Phillies a lock for October? They've been there 3 years in a row. Is it four? Well, they should, but I think the NL is tougher than it has been in a long time. Last year, an 89-win team missed the postseason. 215-592-9494. You could say with the vibes, the Phillies at some point had some aura about them. 2022, 2023.
Aura.
They had some aura. They had some October aura, especially Bryce Harper at some big moments. That aura fell apart last year. Maybe we get it back this season. Speaking of aura, though, what do we want to start here? Someone that definitely has aura or someone who doesn't?
Yeah, let's start with actual aura.
All right, actual aura. There is. You see this story yesterday, Hugh? A.J. Dillon talked about coming here to the Phillies, and he talked about meeting Big Dom, and he said, quote, he has some aura about him. It feels like Big Dom has become bigger than just Eagles.
Big Dom is that dude, man. Big Dom, even to this day, if there's certain things I need to get done, guess who I'm calling?
Big Dom?
Yes. Big Dom knows everybody. Big Dom knows everybody.
I guess a few years ago when he started to become a bigger part of this, I didn't realize the influence he had on the players. Like, I knew he was part of the Sirianni thing and more on the staff, and they gave him a headset this year. But I remember that story Slay told where he said he was going to go to Baltimore 2 or 3 years ago, and then Big Dom called and then he came back. I didn't realize the weight he carries with the players.
Well, I look at it like this. Big Dom, for a way that people can understand what I'm saying, because I've used this before, he's the drunk uncle at the barbecue that tells you your girlfriend is not that attractive. Like, I can't think of it any other way but to say it like that. Big Dom's going to shoot you straight. He's going to talk to you in a way that nobody else would probably talk to you but Big Dom. And I think guys respect that. Because a lot of times, man, especially when you reach a certain stature, people are coddled, you know, they coddle you, and they don't keep it a bean with you. I think that's what Dom does. Dom tells you things in a way that you get, and you might not like the delivery, but you understand. And on top of that, he gets stuff done.
Well, that's for sure. The full quote was, I did get to meet Big Dom. He has some aura about him. He's like the godfather of Philly.
A little bit of that.
It's a pretty good title.
And here's the thing, like for me personally, because you know I've been on this whole weight equipment thing, right? And I've been trying to figure out, like, and this is weird because Big Dom has a range of people that he knows and gets things done. Because one time when I moved to Delaware, Big Dom put me on the right path to hurry up and get my tags for my car. He did, like, because I got them pretty quick. Because Big Dom said, hey, call this guy, do this, you know, whatever. So I got that done. And I was trying to get some weight equipment. And Dom put me on the path for that. You know, so he knows a lot about a lot of different things, man. And I appreciate that. Like, you got to have – he's the guy that you call when you need certain things, like, you know, personal stuff, or, you know, hey, I'm trying to find a place to buy a car or whatever.
Seems
he might
like
know
the,
a guy.
The ultimate, you know, somebody.
Yeah.
He's the somebody.
I guess I got a guy.
He's the guy.
He's got a guy. And the thing that I appreciate and respect about Big Dom, me personally, I haven't played football in 20 years.
Yeah, right? Leather helmet days.
Yeah, leather helmet days.
A long time ago.
But I respect the fact that if I text him, I ain't got to wait too long before I hear from Big Dom, unless he's extremely busy. Most of the times when I text him, he texts right back. And you get to a point where, like, oh man, I ain't got to worry about you. I got these other cats. I got these young cats. I mean, he's a straight up cool dude, man. Real cool dude.
You know what I just thought about before we continue with the Big Dom Aura stuff? I think this summer is the 20-year anniversary of your football retirement. We might have to do a Hugh Douglas 20-year retirement party.
Oh, man, listen, we ain't about to do that.
You are
a lot.
Well, you said it 2 decades. It was summer 2005, right?
It was a while ago. And I mean, I respect that.
The things that have changed in the league since you hung him up.
Big Dom, but Big Dom is that dude.
He's constant. Man. He's still there. All right, so Big, we got to see what Kyle thinks about Big Dom having Aura here. Because remember, Kyle and Big Dom had their differences earlier this season. Where are you on the Godfather of Philadelphia, Big Dom?
I mean, like, I just don't get it. And it's like, I think at this point I've just sort of conceded. Like,
you got to accept it.
Enough people say it.
The players
right,
say it.
Right. And I'm just like, all right, whatever. I mean, like, I don't think he would text me back if I reached out to him.
I mean, to be real, Kyle.
Because we have beef now?
Well, and you and I are nobodies. Like, you know.
He'd text you back, man. When we text me.
No. I'd rather not know my location.
I mean, he know where you're at every day.
That is true. Everyone knows where we're at. It's not hard to find us from 10 to 2.
No, I mean, look, yeah. So I guess, like, where I had my eye on him was I thought the leadership at the top was a little bit shaky, and I had my eye on the fact that, you know, he might be trying to take over or something, like Rasputin.
Yeah, like pull a coup.
But now that Sirianni's he's strong and firm up there, that I'm not worried about it anymore.
You know, speaking of that, obviously Sirianni is obviously firm. He's a Super Bowl winning coach. How come the Sirianni contract extension thing's not done yet? Is anyone wondering when that's happening?
Because the numbers they numbering. Well, he wants to be paid.
They penny pinching with Sirianni too.
No, they're not penny pinching. He's trying to get a financial apology. He's still a bubblehead
from
though.
Who?
From the organization.
They kept him last year.
Yeah, but they all the angst and made him apologize to that fan that was.
Oh, he started apologizing.
You know who needs to apologize? The fan.
No, stop.
The Sirianni.
The fan.
Who
is...
else? Who else? Start naming names.
Who else needs to apologize?
I already apologized to Sirianni.
He did a show. I'm not apologizing.
You should.
If that's what you think.
You should.
He's a bubblehead. He's a Super Bowl winning bubblehead, but he's still a bubblehead.
I do wonder how long it goes without an extension before someone says, like, hey, I think they talked. Did they talk next week? Is next week the next week, I believe, is the meetings. Like, the league meetings?
They go down there with the Yakutas.
Yeah, the Yakutas in Palm Beach when they're going to vote on all these things. I think that's coming up. Someone better ask where the Sirianni contract is.
Well, if they don't, we're gonna start yelling about it.
Well, that's what I think.
Is that what you're going to do?
Of course. Well, they have a Super Bowl winning coach on a lane. He's on his last year of his contract. What are we doing?
I'm not going to yell about it.
Well, yell relatively.
I mean, because he gonna get paid.
I'm just but wondering why it hasn't happened yet.
Because the money ain't money.
So we're haggling with the Super Bowl winning coach.
No, we're not haggling. Mm. He probably.
You're haggling.
No, he probably said, listen.
Being frugal.
He probably said, listen, I need to just give me a check and I'll fill it out. And they're like, seriously? And he's like, yeah, seriously.
Well,
he's looking at the numbers. He probably like, but how much Big Red make?
20. I think 20 a year.
I just kicked his ass in the Super Bowl. No disrespect to Coach, but I mean, it is what it is. An ass kicking was administered.
It was. All things considered, let's be real for a second. If he asked to be the highest paid coach in the NFL, you think they would say yes or no?
I think they'd say yeah.
I think they'd say no.
You think so?
They're going to make him the highest paid coach in the league?
Now, I'm saying this because of the situation.
I think they would.
I'm saying that.
I think they should.
But to Joe's point.
Should.
Yeah. To Joe's point, because I think I know where you're going with this, and I don't want to talk out of turn, but you kind of feel like they feel they can get anybody to coach this
team.
Yeah,
not that they would move on from him, but like maybe everyone's got to know their place. We'll give you a raise. And I think we found out when the season ended, Ben Johnson, one of the new head coaches, makes more than him. So they got to correct that, right?
Oh, like, yeah, he's going to get more than that.
Right, because he's accomplished a lot. But I mean, I don't know. If you tell me he wants to be the, and we're just making this up, but if he wants to be the highest paid coach,
is Big Red the highest paid coach?
Big Red is the highest paid coach.
What's, the problem with making Sirianni the highest paid coach?
If it was my team, I would balk. I'd say, I'll give you a raise.
Dude,
because
why?
It doesn't even count against the cap.
I know, but it's a big jump from he was one of the lower paid coaches. Now,
hold on.
Now he gets a jump, but to be the highest paid coach?
They just made Saquon Barkley the highest paid running back in, NFL history?
And they shouldn't have done that either.
Because he counted against the cap.
I recognize that.
Doesn't hurt him. That's where you give a thank you.
If I'm his agent, I'm starting the conversation out with all due respect, we just kicked the best coach in the NFL's ass.
It's a good tactic by the agent. Yeah.
No, we can't. Yeah. Listen, dog, that was a beat down for the ages. Like, I woke up this morning. Well, not this morning, but for the purpose of this story, it was this morning.
Yeah, today.
And I was like, wow, that's unheard of.
They kicked their ass. Well,
all up and down the field.
So, all right, I
just want to know what coach in the NFL,
I need to be compensated financially.
Do you think would have the right to ask to be the highest paid coach in the league besides, above Andy? Like,
it's Andy. I mean, I
you don't think anybody else?
Well, I guess if McVay wins another one, two, and he's in the playoffs every year, that might be enough.
But Sirianni can't.
He's won one.
He beat Andy.
Let me ask you this: if this goes into the summer and we don't hear about an extension, why? What do you think is holding it up besides money?
They don't want to give him more money than Big Red.
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, it's money. If they hold it up, it's money.
It's money because he's going to be the coach. There's no way they're going to make him a lame duck after the Super Bowl. If there's no contract soon, the only conclusion I have is they're haggling on both sides. They can't come to a monetary agreement.
If you're not going to make me the highest paid coach, I better be in Big Red's neighborhood.
The cul-de-sac.
And I better be in the cul-de-sac.
Like your cul-de-sac.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, like it's great. You said, no, wait, I left my brush at home.
Oh, no, you're missing all these hours.
I ain't get the stimulation of the hair growth in the back. But it's cool.
It's because it doesn't work.
It does work. I got that tea tree.
You were fed lies.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Let that tea tree oil come.
You take it yet, or is it on its way?
No, it's on its way.
Okay, good.
It's on its way.
All right, before we go back to the phone lines, you can comment on the Sirianni thing, too, because it just hit us that kind of randomly. But more of the aura thing. So we mentioned Big Dom obviously has aura around the league right now with Eagles players, with fans. You know, Big Dom, he's popular. Here is what I would call the opposite of aura, as heard on 94 WIP.
This light right in front of you, it's another planet appears.
Did you cough up a loogie on the mic
to do that? Yeah, what was that?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Can you repeat that?
Fran, I got a host there all night.
There we are.
the real question is, you know that are you okay, Joe? Because you're now using that same microphone.
Yeah,
he got a mic condom though, so he's good.
Yeah, you always got that protection.
Gotta
around
have protection
here.
Around
so,
these parts.
So that was that noise was Jolly on Saturday night, and he was what is he doing there? What is that noise into the microphone?
Jolly is leaning into his jollyisms.
What is that though?
I have some ideas, but I can't share them because we're not. What's that? The FCC rules.
Yeah, those rules exist. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't.
So we're not in a safe space.
Nah.
Okay.
I'll tell you when we get off there. Though.
Yeah. So, good thing we have these microphone protection things because that's gross. That's all over the microphone.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I mean, that's a disgusting sound.
Well, also there are other people in the studio. Those particles are flying around.
Forget the other people in the studio. People are listening.
I know.
Who was that? He was oogling over the young lady.
Oh, Livy Dunn.
Livy Dunn. Paul Skeens' girlfriend.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Yeah, that was one of our tougher ones.
Andrew Painter, by the way, will be Paul Skeens. He's that good.
I hope you're. Are you kidding me?
Tommy John, Paul Skeens. I don't think Paul Skeens had Tommy John, did he?
I don't think.
Not to my knowledge, no.
He's got his girlfriend, but whatever. Livy, what's her last name?
Livy Dunn.
Livy Dunn. Yeah, she's so hot.
See that? That's what I try aspire not to be. I mean, love Paulie.
That's you. You try.
It's okay to acknowledge, but that was a lot. It was a lot.
Well, also.
Yeah, with all that. He's leaned into it, man. Paulie, love Paulie. I love listening to the overnight shows late at night when I'm out, when I do.
Especially as you become Delaware Douglas. You listen more now, I noticed.
Yeah, when I'm making moves.
Listen, I get it. If he was asked the question about that woman, or I don't know, she's an adult, but if she was asked about her, right, like, he maybe has to give an answer. No one brought her up.
Nah.
It was kind of just out of nowhere.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's one of those things where it's just like, yeah, it's probably not to be that. Not
maybe it was.
I can't even play the Daryl Morey one.
Oh no! Especially in the context of all this, maybe
I think I might actually get in trouble.
Yeah, I think you might. I might walk out.
Like the runoff. He's the one that
said it.
I know he. It's on him, not us. All right, there's the opposite of Aura. We have Aura and the opposite. 215-592-9494. David has to talk to Hugh. What's up, David?
Mr. Douglas, how you doing, guy?
Hey, what's going on, David?
What's up, man?
I mean, I'd rather be saying your name first instead of Joe. Like you say, you're in the studio, and like you act like you're in your living room.
Mm-hmm. You could say Hugh's name first. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah. Oh no, but it's just a common courtesy.
Yeah, and courtesy I give to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you.
Are you married?
No, I was. I blew that, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I think your next love is bacon. Here's an old saying I just heard the other day.
What you got?
Women are like bacon. They smell great. They taste fantastic. And they kill you slowly.
You know what, David? That sounds about right. Love to all the women, the beautiful creatures that they are, but yeah, that's not about right. That sounds about right.
You got no pushback from him.
That sounds about right.
Hey, I love you, guy.
Love you too, man.
Love you, David. Appreciate it. David's great. More of that. I thought at first he didn't want to talk to me. He just wanted to talk to Hugh first. It's fine either way.
That's crazy. The bacon analogy.
Yeah. You didn't fight back.
No, but you know what's funny? Bacon gets a bad rap.
In terms of health?
Does it?
Yeah. It does. It gets a bad rap. I don't subscribe to that. Like, here's the thing. And I think I need to share that with y'all. It's not like I eat bacon every day. I eat it quite a bit, but not every day.
You ate it enough to feel the need to cook it on
bacon,
the air.
And bacon is keto friendly. Bacon is one of the keto friendly meats. And, you know, I don't eat it where, you know, it's like every day I'm eating bacon. I don't do that. And
but you can hear that.
When you eat foods like that, for a lot of people, it's not just the food that you eat that's bad for you. It's the combination of the other stuff that you're doing that makes
everything
it bad
in
for
moderation.
You. Yeah. It's like the combination. I think because I've got a lot of people say, hey, man, you shouldn't be eating all that bacon. Y'all really think that I'm sitting down, that big ass pack of bacon, that Hatfield gets me
every day?
Every day. No.
Every afternoon, yeah.
No, man, I have this thing where, you know, you break it down and you vacuum seal it. And you put it in
the
freezer.
Are you budgeting your bacon?
No, man, it's like, listen, let me tell you. Between my son and his grandmother, they listen to the station.
So they know when you get
it. Oh, they know when I get bacon. And grandma, you know, grandma.
You can't hide it.
Oh, grandma be like, what's up with that bacon? Like, flat out. Grandma be like, yo. Miss Mary be like, yo, what's up with that bacon, Hugh? And I be like, yes, ma'am.
You can't hide from that.
Can't hide from the bacon. Miss Mary does not play. If she, like, you know, she's an OG. So, you know, when the OG asks for the bacon.
You got to get the bacon.
I got to get a bacon up. So I get a bacon up, though.
Now, I do think the rumors of you not eating bacon every day were hurt by the fact that you cooked it on the air. That audio lives now in infamy.
No, listen, here's the thing. For me personally, there are certain things that, you know, you eat. When you get a certain age, Joe, you and Kyle are not there yet. If you have to eat at a certain time during the day so that your stomach, like, you can sleep comfortably at night.
Yeah, like, seriously, I know, I'm kind of like that now.
You know what I mean? And it's certain foods, you gravitate towards the foods that help your stomach. So bacon is one of those. You know what I mean? It's like, because certain things you eat after a certain, like, I don't eat after 7 o'clock. Can't do it. Like, if I eat after 7 o'clock, I'm not going to be able to sleep. Eat popcorn.
But that's food.
Well, it's a lighter food.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm not eating like veal parmesan or onion rings or something like that. Because I found out, man, I did not know that if you eat chocolate, like at night, chocolate can cause you, like, seriously, it can give you heartburn. Like, chocolate.
Gives you crazy dreams, too.
Like, all kinds of stuff. So I try to make sure, like, I don't eat certain things, and I try to gravitate towards the foods that I know that don't irritate my stomach.
That's smart.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's tough, though. That heel's going to stay there. Sometimes, man. Boy. You get a taste of like a burger or something.
And then we know what happens. Yeah, we all heard
it.
See, you can't control yourself.
Yeah, we all heard it.
See, I walked right into that one.
You did. Tyler in Delaware is up talking some Phillies. What's up, Tyler?
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
How we doing?
You are now my brother from another mother in Delaware. That is just, if you ever need anything, because I'll be driving around here in Newcastle County, man, hit me up, because some would say I'm the big dom of Delaware.
Okay.
So, you know,
I'm going to call
Kyle,
you that from now on, Tyler. I like
the
that.
Dom. The Delaware dom.
Delaware dom, yep.
Yeah. I asked Kyle if I had aura. I said, yeah. You know, we...
Tyler definitely has aura.
Tyler, yeah, we met. We saw Tyler at the Burrs Town Hall. Tyler has aura.
They got aura.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But, hey, first of all, I had to get my ears cleaned after hearing that jolly cut. Like, man, my headphones and all. Phew, that was something else.
Yeah, it was a lot. It really was.
A lot.
I was like, if we ever did a jolly bracket, Hawk Killer Jolly might be a little something that might go on a run. But
yeah, I'm not going to sleep tonight after that. Yep.
Lord. But, hey, on the Phillies, y'all, of course, as I told Kyle, health is important, but this Phillies team to me, Joe, has got to be a lot to make the postseason, because you don't bring in the starting pitching staff that they do and not expect them to go deep. Like, you saying that they had 90 wins for this coming season, this bar has been set higher in terms of they won 95 games last year. I get that it's going to be a dogfight, but you're going to have a leg up early in the start of the year where you got to win these opening series. You start off before the Dodgers with the Nationals.
Yep.
And the Rockies.
Tyler, it's a great point. Tyler, we're up against it. We appreciate you, though. That's a good point.
Tyler's about the long
time. Yeah, well, I mean, we love Tyler. We're just, you know.
Yeah, we up against
him. Yeah, we got to move in and out. But he's right. The early season schedule, Hugh, does set up where they should win some games here. Nationals,
yeah, that's what I was looking at.
Like, Rockies. I think they have Miami in April as well. So
looking at the schedule.
We got to get some wins. We'll go over more of that tomorrow. All right, you guys have yourself a great rest of your Tuesday. 2 days until opening day.
Days.
We are almost there. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow as we continue to get ready for opening day and the Phillies afternoon show. They're coming up next right here, as always, on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Go Phillies!